Welcome to the Saints Happy Hour Podcast with host Ralph Malbro and featuring bloggers Andrew Juge of SaintsNation.com, Kevin Held of The Team Drops the Ball, and Dave Cariello of Canal Street Chronicles. This podcast is nothing but serious football talk and hardcore analysis.
Which four of you would survive the longest in the zombie apocalypse, and in which order would you die?
Well, Ralph, no offense, you're going first.
Oh, definitely. No.
The zombies would smell Dave's sugar blood and target him.
They'd get his...
I don't even have a joke, Dave smells like nougat.
Now here's your host, Ralph Malbro.
All right, welcome to the Saints Happy Hour Podcast. As always, we are sponsored by you, our generous and lovely audience. We are up to 65 donations of $12. If we get to 100, that means you get drunk Saints history once a month, the rest of 2017. That's only 35 more donations of $12. Some of you people have donated a couple times. Donate more. Get to 100, we give you a drunk history. You get to 80... and we'll give you a taste. A taste. Me and Andrew will do one episode. We might do like the Ditka years or whatever. But get to 100 donations. You get drunk Saints history. You get to 200. You get two extra shows a month. That's like draft. We will break down if the Saints player gets arrested on a Tuesday. I mean, you need that extra show. So anyway, donate $12. It's easy. Go to saintshappyhour.podbean.com and click the donate button and do it. The Saints had a little actual news today. They hired Dick Nolan, former Saints coach, led him to 8-8. He's back to coach the line. Wait, that wrong Nolan. Sorry. Mike Nolan, Dick Nolan's son is back. He's to coach the Saints.
Is he really Dick Nolan's son?
He is really Dick. Yeah, that is a fact. He is Dick Nolan's son. So he might have like experience when he was like, when he was like a teenager in the '70s, running around the French Quarter and whatnot. But Andrew, here's the thing. I don't get excited or depressed about these assistant coaches because whatever. The Saints, if they get good players, suddenly the assistant coaches become good. But here's the concern with Mike Nolan. He is on a downward trajectory. He went from like coach in San Francisco to coordinator for Atlanta to working at Sirius NFL Radio. Like, that's a downward career path. Should we be concerned about that?
Could he really be any worse than Joe Vitt?
You say that.
The answer is no.
Yeah. No, I don't know. I mean, it's a good question. I'd like to think that...
Andrew sounds under the weather.
Yeah, a little bit. My personal observation is that they did their... due diligence with these hires. I feel like there were a lot of interviews, and I thought Sean Payton took his time. You know, I think he took longer to assemble a staff, and it took more time. I mean, I remember last year by February 4th, the whole staff had been announced, and we're, you know, here on January 30th, and they've kind of made their first hire for an assistant. So I think he's taken more time. I think he's been more careful, and I hope that yields results. As far as Nolan's concerned, I mean, there's kind of one job as the linebacker coach for the Saints, and that's fix Stephon Anthony. You're going to be handed a supremely talented guy that was drafted in the first round that has the speed and the size to be successful, and you've got to figure out how to drive this lemon Ferrari, you know?
It has no wheels. It has no wheels.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like if Anthony turns it around, that's I really think Nolan's failure or success is going to be measured by what happens to Stephon Anthony.
Dave, the Saints hired a coach and they lost a coach. Apparently, John Morton has decided to commit career suicide and go coach the trash Jet quarterbacks and be offensive.
Never even heard of him.
He's the wide receiver coach for the Saints. He's going.
No, I know who he is, but until yesterday, I'd never even heard of him.
I thought it was John Morton, the old USC receiver. I really did, and then I saw he was.
It was a steakhouse. I thought they fired a steakhouse.
And then I saw he was a 50-year-old white guy, and I was like, "What?" I thought the Saints receiver coach was John Morton, the old USC receiver. But he's going off to be fired in a year because he won't make Christian Hackenberg any good or whoever the Jets quarterback is.
Yeah. But, you almost said greener pastures, and then you realized it was the Jets, and you're like, that doesn't make any sense.
No, it does not, even though their uniform is green. But here's the thing. Curtis Johnson told the Bears, he's like, I'm on a one-year deal. I'm leaving to go pursue other NFL opportunities. So, Dave, is there any possibility that the Saints don't hire Curtis Johnson to come back to be wide receiver coach?
No, I'd say it's guaranteed. People were wanting Curtis Johnson, the Saints to get Curtis Johnson, but he wasn't available. He was under contract with the Jets, and then bam, with the Bears. And then boom, all of a sudden he drops this bomb. I would say that there's already been some discussions between him and Loomis, Payton, whoever. He's probably miserable in Chicago. It's cold up there.
It is.
He's probably ready to come back home to Louisiana.
All right, Kevin, people understand. They've been listening to this podcast, especially like the 20 people that started with us like 10 years ago. They understand that we have you on because you care more about the draft than anybody I know. So I know you were watching the Senior Bowl. So who had the best 40 time and who has the best bend? Because the Saints need some pass rush. Who had the best bend around the corner at the Senior Bowl?
Who got good pad level?
Yeah, who had good pad level?
I tell you what. I watched the it was the East West game. Is that what it was?
Shrine game?
No, that was last week.
Okay. Well, I saw that, and then I did pay attention to the Senior Bowl. This is that's going to come as a surprise. That may come as a surprise.
It does.
But I was really impressed with what the hell is his name? The guy, oh, damn it, he's really tall.
check back to your notes that you were writing. I'm sure you were taking notes.
I'm a notorious. Wait a minute. Hang on a second. Hang on. I do have my notebook here. Hang on.
Okay. What does it say?
Ah, yes. Okay, here it is. Anton, trade the fuck down. That's his name. I think it's Slavik. Slavik, I believe, is a nationality there. It's amazing that Rutgers was able to find a guy like that from one of the Eastern Bloc nations.
I think next year we need to do a GoFundMe and we need to get Kevin to the Senior Bowl and get him a press credential. And when they do the little gaggle with Mickey Loomis in the stands, Kevin can just have a megaphone and just be, trade down, trade down. Mickey, when are you going to trade down?
Kevin works for the mainstream media. He could probably get his own credential.
Well, I don't know. They might, what do they call it, screen to keep the yokels away?
Oh, well, now that Trump's in office, no way they're letting Held in.
I believe we are the lamestream media, Dave.
The enemy. You are the opposition.
Yes. Yeah. We are the enemy, unfortunately.
All right. I used to really, really care about the Senior Bowl, Andrew, but now I just don't because I'm just like, whatever. The Saints, they're not going to trade down. They're not going to get multiple picks.
They're not going to draft every other dude that makes a play in the game.
Yeah. But there was something interesting that Mickey Loomis did say some interesting things this week at the Senior Bowl. And one of them was something that Dave's been harping on. He's like, we got to figure out why we get injured all the time.
Yeah.
But, I mean, are this – if you look at the Saints –
Hallelujah.
Is a broken leg, like, P.J. Williams got knocked into 2017 literally. What injuries do the Saints have that are kind of like, besides Ellerby, I don't see a guy that like, you're like, could they have done better? Like a broken leg's a broken leg. I don't know how you prevent that.
Well, so part of it is obviously how you treat the injuries when they come. There's the whole other side of it, which is prevention, whether it's nutrition or fitness program. The reality is a lot of these athletes, especially as rookies, come into into the NFL undeveloped in terms of strength. Their bodies aren't primed and ready for a 16-game season. There are, you know, Breeze, if you read Breeze's book, he kind of makes a really interesting, you know, Breeze has kind of been the model of health for 38 years. I mean, he's had some serious injuries and his body's broken down recently. But if you look at his longevity and how consistent he is playing, you know, the one comment he makes is that he learned, you know, and he goes in the offseason and trains with these specialists, and, you know, they tell him, you're as strong as your weakest muscle. You know, if there's a part of your body that's imbalanced, you know, basically your weakest muscle is as strong as you'll ever be. And so, you know, he makes these comments about how his arm, the back of his arm, you know, there were these muscles in the back of it that he never really developed. And he said so that, you know, he was very front heavy in his power throwing. And, you know, he said that until he realized that he needed to have his arm balanced and have that strength throughout, you know, the rotator cuff, that he was able to make throws after strengthening that he was never able to make before. And so I think with injuries, it's kind of the same thing.
Or he went
thing.
To Argentina say, and got goat's blood.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying a guy blows out his knee, right? And yeah. And part of the question is, would it have happened to anyone? Or would a guy that have had stability in his knee based on strength in other areas been able to take a hit like that and not torn his ACL?
Yeah.
So I think it's good. I mean, I don't know what the answer is, and I'm not close enough to the team, and I'm not a doctor. But I think
you are definitely not a doctor.
Injuries, well, I did sleep at a Holiday Inn Express last night, though.
I love the show ER back in the day. I feel like I'm kind of...
Yeah, no, but I think it's important to look into. I mean, another quick story I'll tell you is the Spurs hired this like, kind of state-of-the-art treatment thing called a Rosti, which is, like, deep tissue work. And
it's a Jamaican
players,
guy.
The players were getting back to health, you know, from like soreness and stuff like that quicker than ever before.
It's a machine.
And since then, like, set.
It's the Rosti Man. It's the Rosti Man.
No, it's more like it's a technique. It's like, it's an acronym for, I don't know what the name of the business is, but it's basically a technique of recovery. Yeah. So anyway, since then, 7 NBA teams have started using it. And, you know, the general consensus is it gets players back on the field quicker or on the court quicker. So, you know, I think there's ways to be progressive and ahead of the game, and the Saints should definitely look into it because the last few years, especially at corner, they've just been way too injured.
Dave, I feel like, and I know me and Kevin like to bring politics into the podcast or whatever. I feel like a bunch of my Democrat...
Probably not a good idea.
No, but I have a point to make. A bunch of my Democrat liberal friends, they didn't mentally prepare themselves for the possibility that Hillary could lose. And I think that's contributed
did,
to...
Did anyone?
Well, no, that's true. But if you...
None of us did.
Well, but here's the thing. They aren't sports fans, Kevin. So they don't understand that defeat can happen. You know, I feel like if you're a sports fan, you understand that defeat can happen and you kind of can grind through it and you're mentally ready for it. But my point is, are we, Dave, have we as Saints fan, are we mentally ready to deal with the world champion Atlanta Falcons? I feel like we're not. I'm not. I'm oh, not God. Emotionally ready to deal with that. Have you sort of mentally prepared yourself for that possibility?
I mean, I've only thought about it in a cursory manner. I mean, I've only just given it a thought for a few seconds and giggled and then went on to thinking about something else.
So you're in full-blown denial?
I haven't really, like, sat down. You know, really where I do my best thinking is in the shower. Every morning I have to take a nice shower. I like to think about the day ahead. I like to visualize. So I really haven't taken a nice long shower and just thought about what would happen if the Falcons win, thought about all the different scenarios that then, well, the other dominoes that fall with that happening. I haven't really given it thought. So I don't know. I don't think it's going to happen.
Kevin,
I'm not really worried about it right now.
Kevin, have you mentally prepared yourself for Matt Ryan, MVP of the league, the regular season and the Super Bowl? Are you there yet? Have you thought about it?
No. Nope.
Have you brought the proof? I have a fully stocked liquor cabinet. At least I'm partially ready.
Here's the thing. Here's the funny thing. I am actually going to be at work Super Bowl night.
Of
Fox has the – yeah. I mean, the game will be on a bunch of the TVs, so I'll be there, and I'll be watching it. So I will – hopefully my office professionalism will prevent me from speaking a slew of profanity, and I'll be able to save it for our show should Atlanta win. But basically, look if Atlanta –
Oh, you're getting
wins,
fired.
No. If Atlanta wins, here's the deal. If Atlanta wins, the first thing out of my mouth will be congratulations. The second thing out of my mouth will be now get fucked. So they will literally get a grand total of 5 seconds of a pat on the back, followed by me wanting to shove them down a flight of stairs.
Andrew, are you ready? I have an unopened bottle of Elijah Craig bourbon ready for Sunday.
Yeah, no. Listen, this is a fork in the road, you know. And on one side, you've got sustained dominance. Matt Ryan talked about like he's an elite quarterback that belongs in the class of Breeze. Falcon fans on Twitter reminding us that they have a better history as a franchise for the foreseeable future. And on the other side, you've got Carolina all over again, where next year they don't make the playoffs.
Yeah.
Matt Ryan gets banged up. And it all hinges on Tom Brady. Tom Brady is basically our Lord and Savior.
Oh, my God. And it pains me to say it so much.
Yeah, but you know what? It's got to be what it's got to be.
Oh, I hate
so go Patriots. Tom Brady, I love you. Giselle, all of it.
Well, how enjoyable will the Falcons losing and if Goodell has to give the trophy win? The Falcons losing will be super enjoyable, but Goodell having to give Kraft and Brady the trophy would kind of be enjoyable, right?
Yeah, that's what, I mean, that's what takes away some of the sting. That's what takes away some of the sting with Tom Brady winning. It's like, yeah, all right, we got to see Tom Brady win again, but at least it's like, yeah, but this is the best year to watch him win because then he'd have to be up there with Goodell and fuck you, Goodell. So, I mean,
dislike Goodell and as much as I would love just seeing that feel like a little retribution for Bountygate, to me, that's completely secondary to the Falcons not winning their first Super Bowl.
No, it's just a little cherry on the top.
Fair enough.
Cherry on the top.
It's like 1A and then like 1Z. You know, I mean, there's such an enormous difference between the priority of the Falcons losing and any other storyline for me.
Kevin, does it matter how the Falcons lose? Is there a scale of enjoyment though? Like
no.
Do you want their heart ripped out or do you want a blowout? No. Do you want Matt Ryan?
I don't care.
You don't care. But if you had a prep, you had
yeah, beggars can't be choosers.
If you could pick,
Care. I don't care if it is 49ers Broncos level of humiliation. I don't care if it comes down to a last second field goal that I think it's Gostkowski is still their kicker. I don't care if it comes down to one of those. I don't care if it comes back to Atlanta making some ridiculous fumble or throwing an interception at the 1 yard line like Seattle. I don't care.
But I mean, Andrew,
all that I want to be able to do is
What's the over under on number of players from both rosters combined? Kevin can name
seven and a half.
Kev, you're being short sighted. You're not thinking down the road. You're wrong, and you definitely want. I think the ideal scenario is for them to get blown out like Broncos.
Think their guts getting ripped out on the last play of the game would be better?
Because when it comes to like trash talking for the rest of the year, you could be like, yeah, You guys got your asses kicked in the Super Bowl. Yeah. Like,
well,
I mean, here's the deal. They win and it's forever. If they win, it's forever. And they can, we can never take it back. If they lose, a worst case scenario, we're punting this anxiety for a year. Worst case scenario. But it could be another decade. It could be two decades.
Well, best case scenario, though, I think, Dave, you're right. To me, the best case scenario is Matt Ryan is terrible. And he cost him the game. Because the thing is, then he has to deal with, you weren't elite. You're not elite because you choked in the Super Bowl. You're a one-hit wonder. And you had three picks. And it'll just hang with him all year long next year. And the thing is, if you suck in the Super Bowl, there's no redemption unless you get back to the Super Bowl and win. That's it. He could throw 50 touchdowns next year. Won't mean shit. Like, that's what you want. You want Matt Ryan to be the reason Atlanta loses. If it's three picks, if it's a key pick, whatever it is, you want him to be the reason they lose.
Yeah, in hindsight, you know, back in 2009 when the Saints went to the Super Bowl, even after they won, you know, we all said, it was just because they made it. You know, just going to the Super Bowl was a big thing.
Bullshit.
No, fuck that. Even now, after we've won it now, after, you know, 10 years, 6 years later, no. If they had lost, that would have just been gut-wrenching.
I said it last week, and I'll say it again. Getting to the Super Bowl and not winning is like hitting 5 of the 6 Powerball numbers. It's awesome until it's really not. You know? So,
do you think it's worse to lose in the wild card round or in the Super Bowl from a fan's perspective?
I mean, it's more fun for your team to go all the way to the Super Bowl and at least get that hype, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, but put it this way, would you have rathered the Saints in 2011? Would you have rathered them lose to the 49ers in the divisional round, or would you have rathered them lost the Super Bowl like that?
I don't know. That was so painful, though.
I mean, I think all things considered, I think I'd just leave it like it was. Yeah, I mean, seriously. I mean, because the thing is,
the thing is, if we had won that game, we would have won the Super Bowl.
They'd have got to it, but I don't know if they'd have won. That defense was pretty awful. I don't know that they would have stopped the Patriots in the Super Bowl. But they'd have scored a shit ton of points, kind of like this Super Bowl. We'll get to picks in a second, but we got questions. Dylan asks Kevin, should I put another $10 down on Lady Gaga making a political statement at halftime?
Oh, yes. Listen.
I'll put it all down.
Well, hang on.
At this point, everybody's making statements.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost noteworthy if there isn't one. So, basically,
celebrity just showed up and did their job and shut the fuck up.
Not happening this year, buddy. Not happening. You know, I bet you right now they're asking Brady about his being friends with Donald Trump.
They've been asking him that. He's flat out refused to talk about it.
Well, they're gonna keep. I mean, they're probably badger him off the podium.
Did you guys see Devontae Freeman's agent drop today that he should be an elite paid running back?
Is he a free agent?
Probably not.
I don't think so, but he basically is saying he wants tons of money for Freeman.
Good.
I thought that was a nice touch to do that the week of the Super Bowl.
That is.
Yeah.
Love it.
Way to go.
The only thing that would be better is if they had a starter get arrested for soliciting a prostitute like they did last time they were in the Super Bowl. There's still a week to go. I'm just saying. Thank you, Eugene Robinson. Andrew, who would win a fist fight between Roger Goodell and Donald Trump?
Oh, my God. I mean, if we're answering that seriously, I mean, Trump has no hope.
Trump's old, dude. He's 70. I think he's 70
and he has
Goodell,
tiny hands.
Goodell's a big dude.
Yeah.
Dave, do you think Mike Thomas can lead the NFL in receiving in 2017 with Curtis Johnson coming back to NOLA?
I mean, regardless of whether Curtis Johnson comes back or not, I think he, Mike Thomas, could definitely.
I don't know, man. You got to get to 1,500 yards, and that's just for the Saints offense. I mean, what the best, the most yards ever is what?
Brandon Cooks will complain. We'll complain until that, if that becomes even close to reality.
Well, fuck,
there's no way Brandon Cooks will let that happen.
I found
he'll ask for a trade before that happens.
I found 3-1 odds. This is from Dylan too. I found 3-1 odds that Matt Ryan throws a pick six. Should I bet $10, Dylan? If you're going to make Super Bowl bets, I would not make a bunch of fun, goofy bets. I would bet it all on the pick, on the Matt Ryan pick six, because that would be probably the most fun Super Bowl ticket you could ever cash besides the Saints winning. Over under on Matt Ryan interceptions, Kevin, 1.5.
He's only under.
He's only thrown like how many has he thrown all year? Like
seven. Six.
Damn.
Yeah, I'm gonna.
Don't forget the pick two though.
Oh,
does that count?
Going under. I'm going under. I'll say he throws one.
Will the wide receivers regress next season?
Ours or theirs?
The Saints.
Oh no, no. I think Mike Thomas, Cooks and Willie Snead are for real. They're here to stay. I mean, unless, you know, an injury we don't expect happens, I expect all three of those guys to have a great year next year.
This is outside Bagwell's. How will Trump's executive order affect the team's offseason target? Any Yemeni offensive linemen off the list now? Well, if they've got like a guy from the Sudan or a Syrian playing in Canada, that could be a problem. You know, and the Saints, they love them Canada players. So,
You know who I could, speaking of regressing receivers, you know who I could see regressing is Kobe Fleener. Like, he already didn't have a great year. Have a great year, but I could see the Saints getting to a point where they're like, you know what? This guy kind of sucks.
They owe him $12.5 million.
We don't want to throw 70 targets to him.
They owe him either $12 or $14 million still.
God.
Guaranteed.
Ralph, I kind of like your transformation into a 13-year-old girl this offseason. I think it's great.
Kevin, I drink a lot. I have a 14-month-old, and America's basically in a constitutional crisis. I'm drinking a lot more this offseason than I thought I would. Let me just say that. Bigger soul-crushing loss, Kevin, for Atlanta. Well, last-second miracle or 42-0. 42-0 at half. That would be fun if it would be over by halftime.
Can I choose 42-2?
Oh my God! We can just
I would almost. Listen, if it. Yeah. I would rather the two than a shutout.
Yes, the 2 points thing would get a lot of mileage after.
Infinite mileage. They'd never live it down. They'd have to win a Super Bowl to wash that. They'd have to win a Super Bowl to wash that stink off. This is a general question from Sports Cajun. Dave, you can start. What is the most sleep deprived you've ever been? Dave?
Oh, sorry. I was on mute. So just this has nothing to do with the Saints. This is just a personal question about me.
What's the most sleep-deprived you've ever been?
I would say probably I could even pinpoint the actual day. Maybe probably like Lundi Gras going into Mardi Gras, like my freshman year of college. You know, like staying up the entire Lundi Gras night and then doing parades all day on Mardi Gras. That's probably it.
Andrew?
Either the first month of my son's birth as a newborn, my first kid, not the second one. I slept better the second time. Or because I just stopped caring. No, I'm just kidding. I was a big, like, crammer during exams. So in college, I would pull all-nighters to write papers and study for exams. So,
Kevin, most sleep deprived you've ever been?
I don't know. Probably, I mean, you could probably pick any time that I've had to just travel on the weekends for wrestling. Like, I mean, like this past weekend, I went to Mississippi, and it was like 8.5 hours in the car there, 8.5 hours back. Left Saturday morning at like 6:38. Left Saturday morning at 6:30. Got home Sunday morning at 7:30 a.m.
Jesus, and you are dedicated, man.
Just
interesting that Kevin didn't say his Tinder date that chained him to the basement. That's the most sleep deprived he's ever been.
When my kid was born, my wife was in the hospital for a week, and of course I was there for like two of those days. I think I slept like 2 hours. I mean, I was just like, it was like the worst trying to sleep on that sim, whatever they call it. It wasn't a couch, but it was awful.
In the hospital?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know what you call it.
But
I bet the food was great, though.
No, I ate McDonald's for 7 days because it was over Thanksgiving. So Wednesday, the cafeteria closed, so I had to eat McDonald's every day.
McDonald's was probably better than the cafeteria food.
Probably. Eric asked, name your most underrated Saints, one from each decade. I'll not do every decade, but I'm going to pick mine, and I am consistent with this answer, Eric. Wayne Martin is maybe the most underrated Saint there ever was. That dude had 10 sacks at defensive tackle and defensive end and was just a beast for a decade for the Saints. And like, if the Saints had him, if put it this way, if Sheldon Rankins is 80% the player that Wayne Martin is, he'll be a slam dunk. So, Andrew, your most underrated Saint.
I mean, as a kid, you know, just being a big LSU fan and a big Saints fan, I worshipped Dalton Hilliard. And, you know, the thing about him, you know, he kind of got me. I mean, I was hooked before Hilliard, but, you know, in the late 80s, you know, there was a year where he was kind of the triple threat. They would run a lot of halfback passes with him. I mean, I think he had like 4 or 5 touchdown passes in his career.
His 1989 season, he ran for
He scored 18 touchdowns.
Yeah, he ran for like 1,200 yards and caught like 500 yards worth of throw. Like he was the whole
He had 13 rushing touchdowns and 5 receiving. He was like a do-it-all back. He was kind of like a Reggie Bush, but he wasn't as shifty and fast. He was more like just tough.
Yeah,
And a great athlete, but for me it was Hilliard. I mean, other decades I'm trying to think, but no, I mean, as a kid, like I had, remember those like little figurines, starting lineup? Remember that? I had like a starting lineup thing, and I still have that, and that was like my prized possession. That was like, you know, some kids sleep with like their favorite stuffed animal. Or whatever.
You were sleeping with your Dalton Hilliard.
My Dalton Hilliard starting lineup was like. Basically, you know, like, I don't know.
Kevin,
some dude's Maserati or something.
Kevin, your most underrated Saint.
God.
Ted Gregory.
Yeah. God damn it. Oh, Christ.
Kevin, Ted Gregory, Rick Benton. You can only pick one.
You must choose one.
I'm saving Ted Gregory. Ted Gregory needs help.
Dave, your most underrated Saint.
Jairus Byrd for sure. no, I'm kidding. I don't know. I could go a couple of ways with this. I mean, I feel like, you know, Marcus Colson isn't underrated among Saints fans, but in the entire league. I think nationally he always was, never made a Pro Bowl or anything like that. So I would say him. Or honestly, you know, sometimes I feel like 10 years from now, I don't think Pierre Thomas is going to be remembered as fondly as as he was when he was with the team. And I always felt like if Pierre Thomas was on any other team, he probably would he'd be more well known, and he would have way more.
His NFC, NFC championship is one of the like great, I don't like forgotten performances in Saints history. I mean, you think of the NFC championship, and you talk about Tracy Porter's interception and Garrett Hartley's kick and all kinds of stuff. Dude, Pierre Thomas was fucking awesome in that game.
Yeah.
What did he? What kind of stats did he have in that game? I don't even remember. See, there you go.
He had a rushing touchdown. He had a 50-yard screen touchdown. He converted.
He also had the huge kickoff return to set up the winning field goal.
He had the huge kick, and he converted the fourth down.
Right, in overtime.
Yeah, like he was just. It was. He had like. I want to say.
I still think he was short on that play.
Whatever.
he bobbled it.
He did.
But
all right, let's get to the Super Bowl, Kevin.
Hold on. The one guy we didn't mention, and I just want to say his name because I think even without the ALS, like just when he was on the Saints, Steve Gleason was one of my favorite players. Like, he was so fun to watch, and you know, obviously he's become a lot more famous since then. But I still might bring up his name. He had none of that happen.
Yeah, he was really good at special teams. And the fun part was they had a couple games where like they had massive injuries at safety and they had to play him at safety. And he's so tiny that it was just like,
yeah,
oh my God.
He was like a human missile. He had no regard for his health. Like he would just dive into players.
Yeah. And
like
he,
a torpedo.
I want to say he blocked another punt. I mean, obviously the punt against Atlanta, but I want to say he blocked another punt in a game they lost. And I remember Hazlitt after the game, like, dude.
Oh yeah, he had three or four in his
career.
And
Hazlitt
yeah.
was like, if you block a punt, you win 80% of the time, and we didn't even win. God damn it. But anyway, remember, donate $12. We're almost there. 35 more donations. Drunk History Saints. You get it. Do it. Go to click the donate button and do it. Kevin, New England is a three-point favorite in the Super Bowl Sunday. Who you got?
Patriots. Patriots by more than three. Jesus Christ. What's the over-under on total points scored? Because I don't think they're hitting it.
Let me see.
I know people are talking about, man, both offenses. I just get this feeling that we're looking at something that's going to be like low scoring. I don't think either team's hitting 30.
I'm trying to pull it up, but my internet is slow. I think last time I saw it, it was 52.5.
I thought it was higher.
No, that seems low.
I thought it was higher.
I'm still taking Patriots.
Yeah. If you guys have your own thing, let me know because I can. I'm trying to find it myself.
Yeah, my go-to site was crashed, I guess. The 59 is the point total.
Okay, so I'm going under on the point. Okay, I'm going under on the point total. They're not getting to 59.
Yeah.
I will say Patriots 27, Falcons 13.
Oh my God, that would be delightful. Andrew, who you got?
Falcons 37, Patriots 17.
Oh my.
It's not going to be close. Write it in ink, chisel it in stone. It's a done deal. Falcons win their first Super Bowl. I guarantee it.
Dave, who you got?
You're going to like the way you look.
I have tattooed it on my chest.
Oh, my God.
That would actually, I think, be a good idea, and then that would, like, jinx them, and they would never win. who do I have? I got the Patriots. Said that all along. I'm kind of like Kevin. I don't think it's going to be as close as everybody thinks. And I think the Patriots can definitely win by more than 3 points. And will win by more than 3 points. I'm going to say Patriots 38, Falcons 17.
Oh, that'd be the
one. Come on, Belichick. We need you, man.
I'm going to say 35-31 Atlanta. It's going to go a lot like the Saints-Colts Super Bowl. Where
2-2 were split.
Where Atlanta starts out really slow, but once they get going, they're going to light the Patriots defense up, I think. And it's going to be Matt Ryan's going to lead them down late, and they're going to score. And it's going to be 35-31
Atlanta. I feel like a blowout win would be better because at least you kind of brace yourself and you know it's coming. You can turn it off at halftime if you don't like the way it's going. But to get invested and watch him win in exhilarating fashion at the end would be horrible.
Yeah, it'll be like sort of like the
opposite. Your scenario is the worst.
Yeah, so. It'll be like it's going to be sort of be like the opposite of the national championship game in college, where like you were invested in it and Clemson went down and scored like with 1 second left, and you were like, "Yes, Alabama gets the shot," and it was great. And I'm like screaming and yelling at like 12 at night, or 1 in the morning, whenever it was. I think it's going to be the opposite of that. I think it's going to be. Yeah, it's gonna be terrible. So
are you guys with me that like, absent the Saints making the Super Bowl, this is the most invested I've ever been in the game.
Yeah, that's what
like,
I said. That's
I want the
NFC Championship
so badly. Yeah,
I mean, like definitely in the last like 20 years, I've never been invested in a Super Bowl this much. But like in my whole life, when I was 10, I love the 85 Bears a lot. So I was really invested in that game for some reason. But in my recent adulthood, yes, I've never been more invested in a Super Bowl needing a team to lose than this game Sunday. So go to Saints Nation. Andrew's got off-season stuff. He's got the Saints' best plays, their worst plays. Dave will write an article sometime. Eventually,
maybe not, but the other guys over there are doing good.
They
good
are
stuff.
Doing a great job, and me and Kevin are on the Twitters, the InstaFace, the LinkedIngram. We're there. You can find us. So
the Farmer's Almanac.
Yeah, go there. So for Dave, for Andrew, for Kevin. Until next week. Oh wait. Well, fuck it. We'll do it next week. So. For Dave, for Andrew, for Kevin.
The hell of a tease.
Until next week, the bar is closed.
Save us, Tommy.